Good morning, everyone. It's time to begin our work service today. We'll be singing a song to remember again. 174.
everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. I hope you've been blessed thus far. If nothing else, you looked outside and it was beautiful, right? I understand y'all got some rain down here yesterday too, and we're glad that you got that. As you can tell, I didn't, so the idea is that maybe it settled the dust a little bit, and maybe it'll get things growing a little bit. I know you've been under a burn ban, and so maybe somebody can roast some marshmallows, if nothing else, is what we'll hope for you all. But I'm thankful that you got blessed in such a way as that. I'm just thankful that God is still taking care of us, is what I am this morning. We appreciate each and every one being here today. We're hoping and praying that God's going to give you a great big blessing today. That's what I'm looking forward to. We was privileged to go up to the Wiseman Association up in Gallatin this past week, the last 2 days, I guess is what we'll say. And good fellowship. The crowd was not great, but it was a good number that was there. Some from the church come. I appreciate you coming. Our messengers were able to take part. They put Brother Sam to work quite a bit. They let him sing a whole lot is what he did. And so we was glad for that. He's always a privilege and a great blessing to get to listen to Brother Sam sing as well as the others. But it was just a good time in the Lord. We had some good subjects that were discussed. We heard a good sermon. They had to listen to me yesterday, so I'm not saying anything about mine, so I'll leave that one alone. We were just a good couple of days of fellowship with all the other churches that were there, and we just are thankful for that opportunity to be in fellowship with that. I will suggest this, Brother Stewart did this earlier, next year when we have our association meeting, if you can get away, go and be with them there. It'll be at Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church, and that's up in Goodlettsville, I believe is right, is where they actually call the address. But it is a good time of fellowship. You get to see people. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe you do know. But you may be surprised who is there. So just go and take part in that is what I'll ask you to do. Right quickly, I'm going to make one quick announcement because we've kind of changed the order of service for next week. Next week is our homecoming service. And so everybody is going to be bringing food. Invite somebody to come. If you want some friend or a relative that you've not been able to get them to come to church, it's a good time to invite them because you can tempt them with food. Come and eat is what I used to always say, and I still do. But it is a good time to invite people to come to our church. We'll have plenty of food, I know, and so invite them to come. But like I said, we're going to do this a little different. Since we have paid off the note for our church, we're out of debt now, we're going to have a note-burning service. And we usually start Sunday school at 9:30. We're going to start that service at 10 o'clock. We're going to do away with the Sunday school. That'll give the ladies a little more time as far as cooking. But come a little bit earlier. If you do not come for Sunday school usually, come a little bit earlier and be a part of this service. This is going to be special. We've invited the past pastors. I don't know if any of them's going to get to come or not, but they'll have a little time. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of the church just a little bit. We'll try not to make this all too boring, but we hope and pray that you'll understand, especially for the young people, how important it is for your church to be out of debt. And that's a good thing. So remember that next Sunday. We'll start at 10 o'clock. After that service, we're planning about 20 to 30 minutes. We'll go into our regular service, and we'll just look for the blessings of God is what we're going to do. So keep that in mind. Sunday school will not be next Sunday. You can wait 30 minutes about coming. Or just come ahead at 9:30. Never mind. Y'all be here on time that way. but you'll be a part of the note-burning service is what we'll be. And like I said, we'll go on into our service. We'll have lunch afterwards. We're going to have some special singing, so keep that in mind. Now, I'll hush. Let's get on with our service. Brother Sam is going to do children's church, and you probably are going to wonder about this picture up here. Brother Sam has got a treat for you. Kids, come on.
Let's go. Over here. Set in the seats there. Set in the pews. Please. Hello, Hank. Good you can join us, buddy. Have a seat right over here. And we might have a record crowd here this morning.
That's good.
You got to be able to see the picture. You got to be able to see the picture here. Can everybody see the picture? All right. If you can't see it, come around and look at it afterward. Well, let me just show it. Can you see it right there? Can you see that? Somebody plowing, right? My father followed the leadership of the Spirit in the late 60s to go to Mexico. And we were there for 3 years. Y esa foto se agarra en 1970, more or less. My father, yes, that's Spanish. My father took this picture in about 1970. And there's a whole lot going on here, a whole lot happening, isn't there? Yeah, no. It's a lot going on here. And I've been seeing this. My mother's had this hanging in her house for a long, since we got back. We were just riding along one day out in the country, and this man was out there plowing. And my dad asked if we could take a picture, and he said, yeah, sure. So this is unrehearsed, unstaged, and we took a picture. And you might just think it's nonchalant, that it's, you know, nothing. But I have found about 10 things in this picture that we can pull some biblical lessons and scriptures out of it. All of this has to happen. There's a lot working here, and it's all got to work for it to be successful. So, but basically, what's happening here, somebody? Tell me what's happening. What's he doing? Say it again. He's working, and he's plowing the ground to do what? Right, he's planting. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. He's plowing. He's got a yoke of oxen there. He's plowing. You were right. He's working. And he's planting. And so all this has to work for this to be productive. Everything has to be, you know, to coincide. And there's a verse that will start out here. I'm not going to do it all today. We're going to take one Sunday. There's about 10 of them. So you got to be here every Sunday to get the whole story, okay? There'll be a test at the end. That includes y'all. There'll be a test at the end, including you, okay? There'll be a test at the end. But the verse that comes to mind here, Ben, is that it says, it's Romans 8:28. And some people kind of misquote this verse. But you can say it with me, and I hope you say it correctly. It says, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To them who are the called. You got to put that the in there. It's in the book. It's not just who are called, it's the called. Who are called according to his purpose. So it's all got to work. And we're going to talk about various things here. And if you can look at it, there's a yoke. Y'all know what the yoke is? It's got the animals tied together. You got the oxen. There's two of them. There's a plow. There's a young man, a boy. He's got a bucket. The bucket has seeds in it. There's the guy leading the show, the man. He's got a prod. There's the ground. And there's the fence. Y'all be thinking about that, and y'all too. Stand up and let's say that verse. You can say it with me, okay? This is going to be a long, deep study, okay? We're going to have a long semester here. Tell you folks to pay tuition before they leave today. Romans 8:28. And all things work good. Well, am I quoting that right? And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To them who are the called according to his purpose. First class will be next week or the week after. You are dismissed. Thank you.
Brother Sam's got some good lessons fixed up for you here in the next couple of weeks. And you might kind of look at it right now and you think, I don't know about this. But if you'll listen, you're going to learn some things from Brother Sam. He's talked to me about these thoughts that he's been having. And I believe you'll enjoy it once you get into it, is what I hope you'll do. It is good to see each and every one here today. We appreciate your coming out to be in our service. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And is there any prayer request at this time?
We need to remember the family in this community that lost their son this week in a car accident.
Yes.
That's the third teenage kid that I've heard dying in 2 weeks' time.
Lord, hey. It's that's a scary thought when you think about it. The third one recently. You've heard me say my brother died at the age of 17. He was a junior, sophomore in high school, excuse me. And the next year they had a tribute in his school annual for him. Now, the sad point was you said three. That high school suffered four within a year's time. And the lesson to be learned with that is we need to be praying for our sinners. They need to get saved. I know most of them are young, but it can happen to them too. So let's get them on our hearts. And as I told the Sunday school this morning, there was a preacher friend of mine that sent out a message. And it was mainly to the preachers, but I'm going to turn it for us. And what I'm going to say is pray for the sinners as if it was their last chance. And it was your last opportunity to pray for them. I want you to think about that today. If this was the last chance you had to pray for one of your loved ones or one of your friends, how would you pray? If you knew it was their last chance, how would you pray? Somebody else got a prayer request. Thank you, Sister Heather, for that. Somebody else got something? Go, Brother James. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. Good to have y'all with us again. Appreciate all of our visitors. I hadn't said that yet, but we're glad y'all come today. Somebody else. I say visitors, you get to come, it's a regular. I don't recognize these visitors, but we're glad the visitors come. Somebody else. Yes. Yes, do remember Hope especially, but remember all of these. Somebody else. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we just pray that God will touch hearts today, and especially those of the unsaved, but I hope He touches us too. I hope He touches us also in this today. So be prayerful for me that I can say what the Lord would have me to say today. I want this service to be of God. If it's not meant for me to preach, God, get the honor and glory out of it. That's what I want. So let's follow the Lord today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Randall, will you start our prayer, please?
A song written by our good friend Harold Lane. He's singing in heaven this morning, I believe. Song entitled Soon.
Thank you.
If you're prepared to go, say that right now. I'm prepared to. That's the way I want you to sing it now. Come on. It'll be number 193. Number 193, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
Thank you.
Number 156. I forgot a lot of things in my life, but I'm telling you, every day I go back to that old place up at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. Church that I was saved in is blown away. Go to the ground pretty close to where he saved me. Remember that time so well. Thank you, Lord. But every soul.
Amen.
Isn't it going to be a great day?
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's sing it.
Thank you.
Somebody else got a word on your heart. Bless you. Amen. I understand. I think we all do. We all feel overwhelmed. We're all a little bit that way when it comes to our friends sometimes. But we all have a word that we have. And that's the word that we know we're saved. Somebody else. Let's all follow the Lord.
Been a blessing to be here this morning. I'm getting in trouble if I didn't say I had that concern the morning I got saved. I had concern for months and months, but I had a lot more concern the morning that I got saved, and I had a similar thought that this might be the last opportunity.
Yeah.
And it was that that led me to make a move, get up, and go where I didn't want to go. I don't like to be down in front of everybody. I don't prefer to be here. And I didn't want to go to the altar. I wanted to get saved how I wanted to get saved, but that didn't work.
Amen.
And when I did go down to the altar and do what God was asking me to do, that's when I got saved.
Lord bless.
And I'm thankful for that salvation.
Bless your heart.
And I pray that you listen intently to the words of this song. Pray for me as I try to sing it. And I pray that you all will get a blessing and get what's needed for each of you today.
Lord bless.
I would.
Thank you, Brother John. Good song. Good singing. Somebody else got a word of testimony on your heart. We want to follow the Lord today. A lot of people may think this is a little unorthodox service. Go ahead, Miss Sandy. I'm sorry. I want us to always follow the Lord here. A lot of people think that worship service is just sitting and listening to preaching. But worship's what you do in your heart. It's how you look at the Lord, and how you thank Him, how you praise Him, how you glorify Him. For what He put in your heart. That's real worship. Anybody got anything on your heart? Bless your heart. Amen. Lord bless. Bless you. Bless your heart. Bless you, Miss Barbara. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Yeah. We're going to go to the Lord of Prayer again, in other words, and we invite everyone up to the front here to gather together and put your prayers up towards God is what we want you to do today. So everybody that will, let's come into the altar. You don't have to come up here, but it's a good place for us to show our reverence to God, for us to pour our heart out to Him, and we just invite you to come and take part in this altar of prayer. Remember what He said, in case you didn't understand, that we get the sinners on our hearts, but also let's get our hearts right. That's what we need to do more than anything, get our hearts right to serve the Lord today in this prayer. Everybody ready to pray? Don't just pray right here. Pray from here. Brother Patrick, will you start the prayer, please?
We want everyone to
continue to follow the Lord at this time. Does anybody else have a prayer or have something on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything? 162. 162 in favorite gospel songs, I think she said. Everybody continue to follow the Lord. Thank you. I don't know about you, but I was that little lost lamb that Jesus went and found. Somebody else got a word of testimony on your heart. Bless your heart. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bless your heart. Appreciate this testimony. Somebody else. Somebody else. Lord, bless her heart. She can't walk. Lord, bless your heart, honey. Let's do remember this prayer request. Somebody else got a testimony on your heart. I want us to always follow the Lord in every service today. Now, I'm going to cut this real short. You know I can't do that. But I'm going to do this the best I can. My thought today is what you've been talking about. Knowing that you're saved. That was going to be my thought today. And just a quick rundown. How do you know that you're saved? The world today doesn't like our talk about, well, you can't know that you're saved. That's what people will tell you, don't they? But I thank God I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I want to put emphasis on that. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven one of these days. And you can. So the way you know it is, first of all, you've experienced something in your life. Every person that comes to an age where they know right and wrong, they get to a place where they know that it's wrong, that they're not in right with, they're not right with God, is what I'm going to say. The Bible, I'm not going to use all my scriptures on that, but the Bible says, no man can come unto me except, and that's Jesus talking, except my Father draw him. And what he does, he sends his Spirit down here, and he starts talking to our souls. He starts putting trouble in there. He starts putting that godly sorrow, as Paul called it. He starts putting all of that in there. And when that starts getting to a place, you know, you start realizing that you're a sinner. And when you start realizing that you're a sinner in his sight, oh, you may try to cover it up, but you can't cover it up. You can't do anything to hide it. It's what you can't do. But you know what he does? With that godly sorrow, and then that knowing that you're a sinner, you know what comes next? You start to be afraid. You start being afraid that you might die without the Lord. Now, a lot of people says that's enough right there. But, you know, sometimes God puts it, he doesn't put it on everybody, but sometimes God puts it on people that they start to worry about what could happen after they die. You know, death brings about something called hell. And hell is an eternal place for every soul that does not believe. I'll give you scripture on these things if you want me to, but I'm going to cut this short today. Every soul gets to this place. Now, they may cover it up by saying, well, I go to church. They may cover it up by saying, well, I got baptized. They may cover it up by trying to say, I live just as good as I possibly can, and I hope God will have mercy on me. I'm going to tell you something. There's only one thing that will hide your sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can ever have it applied to your heart is to trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall surely die. And that die there is not talking about this death in this world. He's talking about that death in hell. That eternal separation is what he's talking about. And so when that comes into play, you know what you do? You get afraid. Yeah, you get afraid. And you get scared about it. That's the old term, you get scared. And when you get scared that you're fixing to die and go into hell, you know what you start to do? You start to reaching out somewhere. You may reach out to me. That's good. I'll try to instruct you every way that I can. I can't save you. You might try to go to some other preacher. They should instruct you in whatever way they can. But let me say this. There's no man, woman, or child on this world that can ever tell you about being saved except the Lord. He's the only one that does the saving. I can try to lead you to the cross of Calvary, and I'll do the very best I can, but I can't tell you that you're saved. And the reason why, I don't have the ability to look down in your heart and to see when you fully trust in the Lord. Thank God I don't. He's the one that's bigger enough to do that. And when you fully trust in Him, you know what the Bible says? He changes you. I like the words that that the Lord told Paul. He said that you go from darkness to light. You know what that means? You come out of the darkness of sin and you're brought into the light of God. And what that means is it changes you from the inside out is what it does. That spirit just comes in there and he changes you from the inside out is what he does. And that just that light. You know what the definition of darkness is? It is the absence of light. You look it up in dictionary. It's the absence of light. You know what being a sinner is? It's having the absence of God's Spirit in your soul. And so you travel from the darkness of sin to the light of Jesus Christ, His Spirit being in there. You know what it does? God sends His Spirit down to your soul. And it, what the Bible says, it bears witness with your soul that you are. Notice that. That's a positive statement, isn't it? That you are a child of God. Do you know that today? You know what evidence he gave you when he done that? He took all of that other stuff away. He did. He took all of that fear, that condemnation. I didn't mention that, but that's part of it. All that godly sorrow, he took all of that away for just a little, is what he done. Not for just a little while, but it's forever. He takes that all away. Now, I am going to give you one verse right quick. If I can get there. And it's Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. In Him alone is what we do. And we put our faith in Him. Listen to what it says. We have peace with God. Now, what is peace? I found this definition. It is a stress. Well, I like this. It's a stress-free state of security and calmness in the Lord. I'm paraphrasing that last little bit. Boy, ain't no stress in being saved. Before you get saved, you got that trouble. You're afraid. You've got that condemnation in there. And that stress goes away when he puts that blood in there, is what he does. And the next thing I want you to know that he does, and I love it, and I still remember it, when that I got saved, I told of my mother that I was saved. But you know what I did? I went to my cousin over here on this side that was seeking next to me. And not because he was my cousin. I went over there and I wanted him to be saved. You know what that is? That's the love of God that's put in your heart. And that love of God is put in there such a way. You not only want you some of your friends saved, not only your family saved, but you want everybody to be saved. That is evidence of being saved when you feel that love and that joy in your heart. You know, that's the best part of it. Give you one more verse, and I'm going to hush. And, brother, can you get ready? And hope, fifth verse of that fifth chapter. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what else it does? He makes you not ashamed. Wait a minute here. At that moment when you get saved, no, you're not ashamed right at that moment. Oh, you may have a little bit of fear that's in you, but there's something there that just blesses you so much. You're not ashamed of God and Jesus at that moment in time. Later on, you may get down to a place, oh, well, I'm afraid to talk to my friends. You know, that's being a little bit ashamed. Shame on us for being ashamed of the God that saved our soul. Now, what I want you to say today, what I want to say right now is this. Have you ever heard me preach this, y'all? No, you haven't. But this is what I want you to listen to. If you today do not know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven, I want you to think about your soul. I do. I want you to think about your soul as if today was the very last chance you would have to get saved. You do. Well, I'm going to school tomorrow. I'll go to work maybe. I'll go home. We're going to eat after a while. What if you did not? What if you did not have that chance? There's a lot of important things in this world. I know everybody's talking about the election. That's important. I agree. But I want you to understand something. Your soul is the most important thing there is today. It's more important than mother or daddy. It's more important than anything that you may have. Your soul is more important right now than anything else. Brother Key, while we sing, if you don't know that you've been saved, it's time for you to find God. And the way you'll find it is just like I said, start praying to the Lord, seeking out His will in your soul. While we sing.
17, just stand.